If you want to turn to that psalm or leave your marker there for just a moment, Psalm 105, that particular psalm is one that David sang at the dedication or when the Ark of the Covenant was brought back into the tabernacle after being brought back from captivity. And it's one that indeed is used to express how grateful a people are for the things which God has done. And so this morning what we're going to be looking at, since it is the week that our nation has set aside to give thanks to God for the blessings we have in life, to talk about the difference between thankfulness and gratitude. Slight difference that we're going to be making at least for this morning. And so I hope that will be something that's encouraging for you. If you have your notebooks, I didn't give three hard words, so if you hold up your notebooks, I'll give you three words this morning. Okay, it's thanks, which is a very easy word. Thanks, appreciation, and gratitude. And those, all three of those words convey the idea of the graciousness that God has showered upon us, our recognition of that, and the expression of that recognition. That we can be thankful for something we can have. We can indeed show appreciation for what has been done for us. And gratitude is really a state of being. How is it that we reflect upon what God has done? As we said in this particular psalm, it is one that's set aside and can help us to understand that when we think about giving thanks, it means to call upon the Lord. When we give thanks to God, it means that we are making known His deeds among people. In verse 2, when we're giving thanks to God, we are singing to Him. And it often takes upon itself the Psalms. Talk of all His wondrous works. And we even do that in the songs that we sing. That we will glory and have appreciation. And we will exalt in the fact that we know and understand and recognize His holy name. We rejoice in our hearts because of the way in which we have sought the Lord. Seek the Lord, and not just seek the Lord, but it says to seek the Lord and His strength. The thing that we long for and yearn for is to seek His face and eventually see His face, as we have in Revelation, and to remember His marvelous works which He has done. And with that, I believe, carries with it the idea also of never forgetting all that He has done for us. And so it is right for us to be the kind of people who are always talking and singing and encouraging other people to give thanks unto God. Even when you go through the Scriptures in passages such as Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. In Philippians 2 and verse 14, God never intended for us to be perpetual or professional grumblers. It's not to be our profession. It's not to be the thing that we're good at, is murmuring and complaining about things. Paul, in that particular passage in Philippians 2 and verse 14, tells the brethren that they are to do all things without murmuring and complaining, without grumbling about the things which you've been called upon to do. Whenever it is that we are doing the things that God would have us to do, but in our minds or in our hearts or even with our lips, we are murmuring about that thing, complaining about that thing, that is because we do not appreciate what it is that God has done for us and our ability to take part in that thing that God has given for us. Even when it comes to the hard and difficult things like maybe discipline or withdrawal or things that carry with it a great amount of self-restraint and self-control, it's still supposed to be that we're to do those things with calling upon His name, making known His deeds, singing psalms of praise, and being grateful for the opportunity I have to actually be part of what God has done for us. We have other passages like Romans chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, where it says that although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful. Not only is it something that God does not want us to do when it comes to murmuring and complaining and having a lack of appreciation, but the Bible actually describes it as being something that is evil. It is a horrid thing, and it is the beginning of the path of depravity whenever we cannot simply give thanks to God for some of the most basic of things that we have in life. And so that's why one of the reasons why I believe the Bible tells us and shows us and gives us so many different expressions of how it is that we can show our thankfulness and say thank you to God for what He has done. When you go to the Psalms in particular, there are so many of them that are there. Let's go to Psalm 92. Let's go through just a few of the Psalms quickly. Psalm 92 in verse 1 says very simply and very plainly, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praise to your name, O Most High." It is just good. It is a simple phrase. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Not just because of the way that it feels, but it's something that teaches us. Because when we're actually speaking these things or singing these things to God, it is an expression that comes forth from the heart for what God has done and to remember all that He has done. Other passages like Psalm 100, the 100th Psalm, and verse 4. "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name." Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Over and over again, the Psalms give us so many expressions that we can use in our praise to God. But also in the midst of these, if you'll notice, it gives several different things to reflect upon and to recognize about what God has done, especially in this one here, when it talks about forgiving your sins, for healing your diseases, for watching over you and protecting you and being your God and your Savior. The 107th Psalm, Psalm 107. In verse 22, notice that in this passage, and we'll see this in the New Testament as well, Psalm 107 and verse 22, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." Even in the midst of all the sacrifices that were given to God, it was an expression of the sacrificer that was viewed as being a sweet-smelling aroma to God. It was not just that God wanted the outward and the physical benefits of being part of His kingdom expressed through your sacrifices, but it was that you recognizing who He is when it comes to being your God and you being His people. And so when we think about giving thanks to God, saying thank you is a common courtesy. It is just the thing that you ought to do because it's polite to say to God, thank you for what He has done. In James 1:17, we're reminded that our God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. These are the things that come down from God. And with Him, it says in that verse, there is no shadow or variation of turning. God is the one who is always giving those gifts that are good and that are perfect. And it is right for us to, as Hebrews 13 tells us, to offer the sacrifice of the praise of our lips to God as a sweet-smelling aroma because of what He has done and given to us. Now, that is the most basic of the ideas that we're going to be talking about this morning. To say thank you. To express thankfulness. And to say to God how much we appreciate what He has done for us. But see, it's really easy for us to say thank you when something's been done for us. For example, you know, there's many of us probably who have been at a store or at some other business. And we go to the door, and it's not like we have in some places where it's an automatic door for you, but you have to actually open it with your hand. And so you go to the door and you open it to leave the business, and then you see someone coming up behind you. And so you hold the door open for them. And then they come through the door, they never look at you, they never say anything. And how does that make you feel when that happens? Now, do you want them to grovel? Do you want them to give this huge expression? But a simple thank you. A simple thank you for that thing. The way I am, if I'm in traffic here and somebody needs to get over into that lane because of the road construction, when I let them in that lane, there's one thing I'm always looking for. Because if they don't do that, it's like, well, that, you know, I didn't have to do that. The other 1,000 cars didn't do that. But it's just a simple thank you. Those things, though they may say thank you, may not really have gratitude attached to it. When we're talking about gratitude, what we're talking about is an even though type of thankfulness. Even though you didn't open the door for me, I'm still thankful. Even though you didn't let me in the traffic, I'm still grateful. Because it's not about the blessings that I may enjoy here and there along life's way, but it's about who my God is. What God is looking for in all these verses that talk about giving thanks to God, they're so closely tied to the idea of praise and adoration for God. Because it's not just that God is the one who let you in the traffic and He wants you to give Him a wave, that He held the door open for you, so say thank you to Him. God wants you to love and appreciate and have eternal gratitude for what you have in life, regardless of whether the thing you have in life is good or bad, pleasant or unpleasant. It's the kind of gratitude that gets us through whatever the circumstance may be. In Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, you have the story of these lepers. And they come to Jesus wanting to be healed. And so Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. And so while they're on their way to the priest, they're healed from their leprosy. Now, I doubt any of us would say that those 10 lepers, that none of them were actually thankful that their leprosy was gone. Every one of them, I believe, would have been thankful for that. But there was only one who returned to tell Jesus, thank you. That's because he was grateful, he had appreciation, and that gratitude was one that was focused in the one who gave it and not just in what he gave. And so when Jesus asked the question of him, where are the other nine? Is there none to come back and to give thanks? This one who came back to give thanks, if you remember in the story, if you look there in the story, he fell down at Jesus, he worshiped, and he said with a loud voice what he said. He was not ashamed for anyone to hear how grateful he was to Jesus for what Jesus had done. It was not a matter of just what he had done and what he had received because he was on his way to the priest. It was about the one that gave the blessing. And so when we think about who our God is, that's what gratefulness is all about. It's founded in who it is who's walking with us in the journey through life's way. In Psalm 23, if you go back there, I want us to notice a few things. And there's been several times that we've looked at Psalm 23, especially when we were talking about the different names of God and how many of those different names are expressed even within in the psalm that's given to us. But the Lord, my shepherd, is... And that's really how that psalm should begin. Not just that He is my shepherd, but here's the qualities of my shepherd. And so it's not just that the Lord is my shepherd, and so He's going to give me these things, but the Lord, my shepherd, is the one who gives me these things. It's more about the shepherd than it is what the shepherd gives. And so when you look at Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I'm not going to want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It's easy to say to God, thank you for all those blessings that are there. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you have given to me. However, in verse 4, He says, even though, or yea though, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? Because you are with me. That is even though. That is in spite of gratitude. Even when I'm in the midst of death's dark valley, I am grateful. And the reason I'm grateful, because even though God may not deliver me from the valley of the shadow of death, even though what I'm grateful for is this, He is with me. He may not get me out of the boat that's in the midst of the storm, but I know He's in the boat with me. That's the difference between fear and faith. That's the difference between despondency and victory. That's the difference between heartache and heartfelt praise. That's why we can be thankful, yes, for God who is there to forgive us of our sins and God who is there to listen to us when we have brothers and sisters who are sick and in pain and going through hardship and difficulty, and He answers us and gives us the heart's desire that we expressed in prayer. But even when we don't receive those things, are we still thankful? Are we still grateful? Do we still understand who is the giver and who is the taker of things? Because we understand that we are nothing more than just stewards, that it was God's to begin with, it will be God's in the end. And so in all these things, can we give praise? And can we be thankful to our God? Continuing on in this psalm, "You prepare a table before me." Notice the table is prepared. The table is prepared for you. But where is it prepared? In the presence of your enemies. When you're sitting at the Lord's table and you're surrounded by nothing but your enemies, can you stay focused on the Lord who prepared the table? Or do you focus on the fact that my enemies are around me? That those who would cause me pain, those who would cause me harm, those who don't have my best interests at heart, can I stay focused on who it was who set the table? Or do I focus on the company that I'm in the midst of? That's what that "even though" type of gratitude, that "even though" or "in spite of," I can still be thankful. Because I'm thankful for God. Yes, these are benefits, these are blessings. But I'm thankful to God. And I'm thankful for who He is and what He can provide for me. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over." If you remember when we talked about that phrase, "my cup runs over," that it was the idea, if I understand it correctly, that when you were a guest in someone's home, they didn't tell you when it was time for you to go home, and there wasn't a set time for you to go home. But you knew that it was time whenever they came to refill your cup and they only refilled it about halfway. That's kind of saying to you, okay, it's about time for you to go. But David here says that when the Lord is filling our cup, it overflows. He never stops filling the cup. He wants you to always stay there. He wants to always be with you. And so when he concludes the psalm by saying, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Goodness and mercy are going to follow me. Where? Through the valley of the shadow of death? In the presence of his enemies? When he's going through the green pastures and beside the still waters? Mercy and goodness are always there because he's always in the house of the Lord. Brethren, when we rejoice, when we find thankfulness, when we find happiness, when we find joy, when we have reason to praise, let it not just be in the midst of when times are good, but "even though," I will still praise. Praise will not stop being upon my lips because of the one who is with me and the one who watches over me. That's what gratitude is really all about. And that's why we're told when we go to 1 Thessalonians 5, if you'll turn there with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this is really where the idea of the lesson this morning is coming from. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 16 through 18. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." It is the will of God that we give thanks. But it's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you that you give thanks. And notice that he says "in everything," not "for everything," "in everything." The difference is this, is that there's plenty of verses that tell you to give thanks for everything. But this verse is telling you that "in everything, give thanks." In other words, in every situation, in every circumstance. Some of the versions actually translate it that way. In every circumstance or in every situation, give thanks. This is God's will. I can't give thanks in every situation for the thing that the situation has brought upon me. It's hard for me to give thanks when I'm dying of a disease. It's hard for me to give thanks when a family member has been ripped from me because of sin. It's hard for me to give thanks for that. But I can give thanks in that. That's the difference. Because the difference is this. One is only based upon, "God, what have you given me? What have you done for me? What door have you opened? What traffic have you let me in the midst of? How have you freed me up?" The other is that, "God, thank you for being with me. Because if you were not with me, I would not be able to survive this circumstance or this situation. I would not be able to make it through. This is the valley of the shadow of death for me. But I know you're with me. Thank you, God. thank you. I will praise your name. I will make known your deeds among the people. I will sing to you because you are my God. That's what it's about. That's what gratitude is really all about. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 tells us, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Walking by faith and not by sight means that I'm not just thankful for what I see right in front of me, but I'm thankful that through the eye of faith I see even more than what this world has. I'm not going to be despondent. I'm not going to be torn down. I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to wither away. And the reason being is because I have faith in God. What is our gratitude based upon? What is my thankfulness based upon? Is it based upon sight or is it based upon faith? That's what it's about. That's where strength comes from. And that's what the heart of praise is based upon. In Habakkuk, the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. I gave a lesson several years ago on this particular passage that was called Stubbornly Rejoice, or Stubbornly Rejoicing. And the reason is because Habakkuk is talking about all these horrible things that are going on, and he seems to be very confused by it all. And God is letting him know that things are bad, and they're bad for a reason. And at the end of this, as Habakkuk gains some understanding, he says in verse 17, "Though the fig tree may blossom, nor fruit be on its vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls." In other words, in everything that I may gain my income, my prosperity, the inheritance for my children, my security, my day-to-day life provisions, all of it is gone, though it all may fail. And not just fail in that, well, it was a bad crop. Fail in that it does not even exist. Though it all may be washed away, what does he say? Verse 18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The God, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on the high hills." I think some of the ladies were reading a book and studying from a book called Hind's Feet, that talked about being able to get upon the hills and to take a look at things from the right perspective, from God's perspective. And this is what Habakkuk says, that though everything pass away, though heaven and earth be removed, yet I'm still going to rejoice because the Lord God, He is my strength. Am I going to be happy that the fields are barren? And that all of my flocks are gone? Am I happy about that? No. Am I going to be thankful? God, thank you that everything's been destroyed in my life. That's not what it's talking about. But this is what it is talking about. You are with me, and therefore I am thankful. What more do I need if God is with me? What more? He's the one who provides it all anyway. And so it doesn't matter if I have those things or don't have those things. If you go to Job, and is that not one of the lessons that we learn from Job? Is that when Satan came to God with this test, God asked him, "Have you seen my servant Job? There's no one like him." And Satan says, "The only reason that he serves you is because you bless him. But if you take away everything that he has, he will curse you to your face." That right there is a lesson that ought to help us every day to really examine ourselves. That when we see all that we have, if I lost it, would I curse God? Or would I still praise His name? If I lost it all, not some of it, like it was with Job, if I lost all of it, would I praise Him? Or would I curse him? In the second chapter, even after he has lost all of his possessions, he's lost all of his family save his wife, and his wife comes in and asks him, "Why are you still holding on to your integrity? Why don't you do like everybody else does and just curse God and die? Why are you still trying to hold on to your integrity? Curse God and die. This is what everyone else would do. God, why have you done this to me? Why do you hate me so much? Why are you making life so hard on me? Why don't I have the same things that other people have? Why have you made it worse for me? That's not what Job does. Job tells his wife, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. If we accept goodness from God, should we not also accept adversity? Because it's from the hand of God, he says. God has allowed this. God is not trying to destroy me. Job knew that. He was confused about a lot of things, but he did not curse God. Even in the first chapter, in Job 1, verses 20 and 21, when he had lost all of his possessions, it says that Job arose, he tore his robe and shaved his head and fell to the ground and wept, cried aloud over his anguish. What does it say he did? He worshiped. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. He understood that he came forth from his mother's womb without anything. And that's exactly how he's going to return to the ground. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. This is gratitude. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what it's really all about. And that's why we're supposed to focus upon who God is and not just for what he has given to us. In Acts chapter 16, there's this beautiful account of the conversion of this jailer in Philippi. But one of the things that we always point out from that account, and rightfully so, is that at midnight, after Paul and Silas had been beaten, and after they had been put in stocks in the inner part of the prison, that Paul and Silas did something at midnight that other prisoners were even listening to. They were praying and they were singing. They were praying and they were singing. You know, we don't know what's going to go on in the world. We do know this. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be difficulties. All of us, if the Lord does not return and if time is given to us, all of us are going to grow older. We're all going to get some type of disease or die from old age or get run over by a car. Something bad's going to happen. And it may actually be one day that, you know, God forbid, but maybe one day we are thrown in prison because we preach the truth about something. God forbid that me and you are not sharing a prison cell together and we cannot sing. Can you imagine? And others were listening. Make known his deeds among the people. Come, let us come before the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing to the Lord. Give praise to his holy name. Gratitude, not for the jail cell, but for who's in the cell with us. Not for the storm, but for who's in the boat with us. Not for the valley of the shadow of death, but the one who is with us as we walk through it. Not because we're surrounded by enemies, but because the one who's prepared our table in the midst of it. That's what gratitude is about. And that's what that even though or in spite of type of gratitude is about. It's that type of gratitude that cannot be taken away from you because of who it is that causes us to rejoice to begin with. You had nothing when you came to Christ. Nothing. You're spiritually bankrupt. You had nothing. And now every spiritual blessing in Christ is yours. Everything, as we looked at a few weeks ago, all things are yours. You're an inheritor of the Father's kingdom with Jesus as your blessed brother and fellow heir. All things are yours. We have every reason to say thank you and to mean it. That's what this is about. And so we're going to sing the song, and the song I asked to be led today was, It Is Well With My Soul. And the reason being, as many of you probably know, the history of that song is the man who lost his family. And even as he comes back later upon that same area in a ship where he had earlier lost his family, he's able to pen these words and to sing this song. This is that even though, or in spite of type of gratitude that we're talking about. And so the question I'm going to leave with you this morning is that very question. Is how deeply grateful are you this morning? I know that it's sometimes difficult to reflect in the midst of hardship and difficulty. But never forget who's going through it with you. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, if you realize there's nothing in this life that matters save being in that right relationship with Jesus Christ, realize that that is the only thing that's ever going to matter. And let today be the day that you make that decision. If we can help you in any way, won't you please come as together we stand and sing.